Exodus from the Hebrew text. We're in the 26th verse of chapter 23 in the book of Exodus. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible to begin with. And it's a very interesting lesson. Starting back down, or up to 25, it says, "You shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness from your midst. None shall lose her young by miscarriage, or be barren in the land. I will fulfill the number of your days, and I will send my terror before you. And I will throw into confusion all the people to whom you shall come, and I will make all your foes turn from you in flight." Now, God is talking here about Israel going into the land of promise, into the land of Canaan, possession is what it means. "I will send my terror before you, and I will throw into confusion all the people to whom you shall come, and I will make all your foes turn from you in flight." Now, we cannot apply this to us today in all reality. A lot of people will take a scripture like this and say, "Oh, that's God's going to do this for us. God has promised in Israel he's going to do this when they went into the land of Canaan. And I will send hornets before you." I know all about hornets down on that farm. I've been stung everywhere by hornets. It's not fun. "And I will send hornets before you, and I shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite before you, and I will drive them out from before you in 1 year. I will not drive them out before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate for the lack of attention, and the wild beasts multiply against you. Little by little I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and are numerous enough to take possession of the land. I will set your borders from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistine, and from the wilderness to the river Euphrates. And I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. And you shall make no covenant with them or with their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, I will also surely be a snare. It will also surely be a snare to you." God is promising Israel that he's going to go before them in the land, that he's going to give them this land flowing with milk and honey. And it starts all the way back into Genesis. Let's go all the way back to the book of Genesis, the 9th chapter. Genesis chapter 9. And verse number 25 now, he gives a curse. This is a long time. This is over, well, thousands of years before this was going to take place. This was back in the time of Noah. Way back over here now, if you look here at the flood, here is the time of Noah. Here's the flood, and now we have government set up, and we're going to go all the way over here. We're going to divide the earth. After the Tower of Babel was built, we're going to divide the earth, and languages are confused. And then we've got Abraham coming over here, and I've got the Egyptian bondage, and now we have the law given, and when they're going to go into the land of Canaan, or possession. Let's look and see how far back in time God said this. Noah woke from his wine and knew what his youngest son had done to him. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan." Not Ham, but Canaan. Now, a lot of people have different reasons why that Noah cursed his grandson and not his son that did the act. The rabbis in the Babylonian Talmud, in the Mishnah, and different places, they discuss this very verse. And they say that what happened here is that Ham went in and raped his mother. And she became pregnant, and the prodigy of this incestuous, violent act would be a child called Canaan. And Canaan would go out and he would settle in the land of Canaan in Palestine as we know it today, or the land of Canaan. And they would become a very wicked people, a very wicked and a very sexually perverted people. And that God would allow them to go in that land. They would build their farms and everything and their orchards and vineyards. And then they would become so wicked that God would use Israel to drive them out, and they would go into this land, this possession. Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants, and he shall be to his brothers. And he also said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. And let Canaan be his servant, and may God enlarge Japheth, and let him dwell in the tents of Shem. And that talks about even jumping forward all the way to the church age over here, where the Gentile church would take over and the Jews would basically reject the word of God until God would bring them back into the land, regather them. He would deal with them in the after the church age and the great tribulation period. Now this is a promise and a curse. So the God now is going to bring about what he said was going to happen in the ninth chapter of the book of Genesis. We're going to read this from the Hebrew text here now. Lo tiyeh mo shak ki hak, or ki ha, that is, we agara beratsika et mispar yomika amale. This little word here, this lo, that is an adverb of negation. Page 518 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs tells you about that. Then we have the word ti. And ta is third person feminine singular, cal imperfect. And that means, and she shall keep on becoming. She shall keep on becoming. Not she shall keep on bemoaning, one aborting, mashikeha, one aborting. That means losing their child, being childless. Feminine singular, PL perfect. Then we have weakara, and we on the front of that is and. And then akara means one barren or one childless. One, it says the verb here is being childless, and then one barren or one childless. In your land, there won't be one person in your land that is childless. I'm going to make you fruitful, and you're going to multiply. In your land, baratsika, baratsika. That baith on the front of that is a preposition, page 88. And then we have the word eretz. And then we have the possessive, genitive, in your land, in the land of you. And then we have a sign of direct object, etz. And then mispar. Mispar. And that means number. A number of your days, yamika. The days belonging to you, again, in the genitive. And then amila is a first person construct, singular, PL imperfect. I shall keep on filling you up. I shall keep on filling up the land. And I shall keep on filling up your days. Now verse number 23, 27. Et amarti ashila lifanika. We hamati et kol ha'am asher tava. Bahem Vinatati et kol ayivika ilika aref. It starts out with a sign of direct object. In the Greek text, that is ace, page 119. And here we have et, the sign of direct object. In other words, there's power going, there's energy going. Et emarti. And my terror, my fear. I shall keep on sending. Ashala, first person construct singular, PL imperfect. I shall keep on sending. And that comes from Shila. I shall keep on sending before your face, before the face of you. That's in the genitive also. Lefeneka. Le on the front of it. There is a before, in front of, the face of you, or to the face of you. And then we hamati is first person construct singular, cal, while consecutive, imperfect, and I shall have confused. I'm going to confuse your enemies. Et again, sign of the direct object. Ha'am. All. Call means all, page 481. And then ha'am means the people or the families. Ha, the, and then families or people. Asher, a little particle of relation there. Pava, that word there, it's a verb. It's second person masculine singular, cal imperfect. And you keep on coming, and then it says Bahem, among them, preposition there, page 88 in front of it, and then Ham, them. That's a third person plural pronominal adjective, basically. And then it says we are not titi. And I shall have given. And that's first person construct singular, cal, while consecutive, perfect. I shall have given et, sign of the direct object again, all, call all, ayinika. All of your enemies, all of the enemies of you, genitive, again. Unto your ilaka. Unto, now that's a preposition with a suffix in it, unto your back of the neck. I shall allow you to grab them by the neck. You shall always have them by the neck. Verse number 28 now. Vicha lashiti et hats sirah. La Fanika Vigaresh et Hachiwi et Hakenani Wet Hachiti Bili Fanika. And I, that word and there, it's on we on the front of that now. And I shall have sent. First person construct singular, cal, while consecutive, perfect. I shall have sent. And this is the word hatsira. That's hornets. Hornets are, I look at a hornet and it looks like a demon to me. If you know what a demon looks like, I mean, we don't really know what a demon looks like, but they look like little devils or little demons. They are mean looking. And they're dangerous at both ends. They can bite you and sting you. And they're not like a bee. They can keep on stinging. A bee can sting you one time and they lose their stinger and they lose their life. But a hornet just keeps on raking you with this terrible toxic poison. I remember one time I had I was recovering from radical prostatectomy surgery, and I had just taken out a whole bunch of stitches out of my abdomen, and I had a whole lot of barbed wire still in me, pieces of stainless steel clamps all inside of me, and I could hardly walk. It was hurting my nerves and everything else in there. Anyway, I decided I wanted to get something from my radio, and it was out there in the little storage container, which is up here now. I brought it from down there up here down to Valley Acres, and then to Old River, and then back up here. Well, my radio equipment was in there, so I went out there and I climbed up these little stairs, and I opened the door. It's a roll-up door. And when I rolled up that door, inside of it was a gigantic hornet's nest, because I hadn't been in there for a while. And this was summertime. And those hornets came out there, and I was in a t-shirt, and I was still wearing my pajama bottoms because I didn't feel like putting on pants. It hurt. I had been preaching pajama bottoms for 2 or 3 months before I ever put pants back on. Well, anyway, they started raking me down my arms and in my face and in my neck and both arms and biting me everywhere and stinging me at the same time. And I jumped off of that, and I mean this hurt. You ever been gutted and then you jump off of a 2-foot to 3-foot high deal and hit the ground running? Hornets are bad guys. They're bad creatures. They hurt. And they hurt, and it makes your bones hurt inside. Anyway, I ran up there, and I got this down there all the time. I had to have this stuff that you put on wounds and think, because we had hornets in every around every corner and wasps around every corner. So anyway, I put this stuff on there, and it burned. I was sick at my stomach and nauseous and everything with this. Now, that's what these little creatures can do. God is going to send hornets before them. And every time I think about or get bit by a hornet, I think about this right here. God's going to send hornets. I'm going to send hornets before your face. These hornets now, down in Old River, it gets cold in the wintertime. The hornets usually go to sleep. I remember one time I'm out in shop doing something in the wintertime. And I picked up something, and all of a sudden my hand has started burning like fire. And there's a half in hibernation hornet stinging me. And it sweltered, welted all up, and it had a long sting. They'll just stick that stinger in you and just drag it. Just like that. Just drag it. Drag it and sting all the way, and with the other end they're biting you. Both of them hurt. The hornets before your face. Lefanika, preposition in front of it, and then your face. Face or nose. The face or the nose of you. We got Isha. Third person feminine singular, PL, while consecutive purpose. And she shall have driven out. Shall have driven out Eth, sign of direct object, the Hivites, Ha Shivivi, Eth, Ha Kanani, the Hivites and the Canaanites. The Canaanites, Weeth, and sign of direct object, Ha Chiti, and the Hittites, from before your face. Look at that, Milifanika. The mam on the front of that is a preposition. It means from, comes from men. And then we have Lamet on the front of that, and that is a preposition. From before, or from to your face, or your nose of you. 23:29 now. Lo agarishanu mefanika bishana ishath pen tiya haaretz shamana Wiraba, Alika, Chiyat, Hasada. Not, a little adverb of negation again there, page 518. Agarishana. First person construct singular, PL imperfect, and I shall keep on driving him out. I shall keep on driving him out. We have first person construct singular, that's I shall, and then the suffix on the end of this is third person masculine singular. I shall drive out each and every person out of each and every home. Mifanika, from your face, or from the face of you. The preposition on the front of that, from man. And then we have fanika, which means your nose or face. And it's also on the end of it, it's genitive. From your face, the face belonging to you. Bishana, we have the word shana there, and bath on the front of that. That bath on the front of that is a preposition, page 88. Means in the year. In year, and then Bishana. Shana means a complete cycle. That means from January, of course their months are different than ours, to December. Wintertime, springtime, summertime, and fall. A whole complete cycle. Not I shall drive them out or keep on driving them out in just one singular year. Ashapa, Yashoth, that means one. Aha. In 1 year. Lest, pen, lest. That's a little conjunction there. Tia. Third person feminine singular, cal imperfect. She shall keep on becoming Haaretz, the land. Definite article in front of that. Eretz, land. The land, a wasteland. Shall. Shemama, a wasteland, a desolation. No people in there to take care of the land. Then the wild beasts come in. The vermin comes in the houses. The fields grow up in weeds. And God's going to really take good care of them. He's going to leave them there long enough so where they can take care of the place so they can come in and take over. And you say, what about these poor people? Those that wanted to believe and follow God, God protected. We know that from the very, very beginning. The first city they ever came against was what? Jericho. Who in Jericho got saved? Because she believed. Remember who the person in Jericho that believed and was saved? Rahab the harlot. Oh, Rahab the harlot. She was a harlot. Prostitute. And guess what? She believed, her and her house, and not only did she believe and they saved her, but she became in the lineage of the Messiah of Israel. Talk about greatness and the sovereignty and the love and the glory of God in that. A wasteland. And then we Rabbah. And she shall have multiplied. Third person feminine, singular, cal, while consecutive purpose. Alika, that is a preposition there. That al there is a preposition with a suffix. Upon you, chayoth, living ones. Upon you, living ones. And the field and the meadows. That hasadah, that means the meadow land. Up here in the mountains, I took Maryland there a little bit. But out there is a wild apple orchard, and out of that apple orchard is a wetland. A spring comes out of there, and it flows out, and grass grows. That's what we call the hasadah, the pasture land, the field, the meadows. Verse number 30. Miat. Agashimanu, Shinu, Agarishinu, Mifanika, Ad, Asher, Tibre, We na shalti et ha'aretz. Miat miat, little by little, little by little, small amount by small amount, I shall keep on driving him. First person construct singular, PL imperfect, suffix third person masculine singular. Each and every person, each and every one, singularly. God will singularly deal with every person. Just like he did Rahab. And then who was the other woman that was in the lineage of Christ? Ruth the Moabitess. Lot's descendants. Lot's daughter. She said, Moab, I have gotten water from the father. In other words, a child and incest. And she said, these will be the Moabites. And that was the Moabite people. And Ruth the Moabite, a descendant of Lot, would become also in the lineage of the Savior and Son of God, Jesus Christ. Grace, glory, and love, and forgiveness. Me, Phanika, from before your faith, that little man in the front of that there is from your face or nose. Until, odd, this until here is a preposition of place or time. Until Asher, a little particle of relation there. Tifrei, and that is second person masculine singular cal imperfect. And you shall keep on being fruitful. And we na shalti. And you shall have possessed. Second person masculine singular cal wow consecutive imperfect. And you shall possessed et ha'aretz, the land. I'm going to drive these people out little by little. They're going to take care of the land for you for now. And some of them that will believe will be part of you. But they have to believe. They cannot drag their paganism into your lives and your homes and your families. 20 or 31 now. We shati et gavulka mayam suf viad yam pilistim u mim midbar od hana hari ki Etan, Libiakim, et Yoshivi Haaretz. We shati. First person contrast singular cal wow consecutive perfect. And I shall have stretched out your border, Gavulka, et sign of direct object, your border. From sea, men and yom. Yom there is waters. It's talking about the sea, the great waters. The Sea of Reeds, actually. It's not talking about the Red Sea now. It's talking about the Sea of Reeds. That is where they cross, the Sea of Reeds. The Sea of Reeds is not the Red Sea. Is it Mayama Suf? The Sea of Reeds. Now let's talk about just where Israel crossed over into the land. They went through the Red Sea, it says, in King James and all of that. But that was taken from the Septuagint. The Hebrew does not say the Red Sea. It says the Sea of Reeds. It was another place there where there was a lot of reeds. And I'm going to tell you something. It's a whole lot harder crossing in the Sea of Reeds than it is a sea, a clear sea. Because the Sea of Reeds has got a lot of mud, and it's not very deep, and it may be 10, 15, 20 foot deep, or maybe 50 foot or 100 foot deep in some places. But the reeds are like spider webs all entangling you. Now, when God caused Israel to walk through the Sea of Reeds, he did something. it's more miraculous walking through the sea of reeds and all that mud, like quicksand, than it is just crossing water that stands up on heaps or gels up, like it said. The water did not only gel up, but he dried out the ground where the mud was, and Israel walked through that sea of reeds, all that mud and quicksand, without ever a mishap. But then when Pharaoh and his armies go in there, they go in there, and their wheels get stuck in the quicksand, and the waters roll over them, and they're drowned. Not the sea of, not the Red Sea, but the sea of reeds. The Hebrew is the tail, the end of this stroke. Not the Septuagint, but the Hebrew Old Testament. Wead, and wead means here, and unto the sea of the Philistines. From the wilderness, you mem midbar, from the wilderness, odd unto, again the preparation of place or time, unto Hanatari, unto the river, because, a little conjunction, etten is first person contrast, senior cal, imperfect, I shall keep on giving into your hand, be yadkem. This is a preposition on the front of it. Preposition, bait, page 88, and then yod, that means a hand. And then the end of that yod there has a, it puts it in a preposition. Or not a preposition, but the possessive, which is a genitive case. Into your hands, the hands of you. Et, sign of direct object and power. Yo shavi. Masculine and plural, cal participle. One setting in the land. One setting in the land. The ones that are there setting in the land, I shall take it away from them and give it to you. God is not an orator. He is not a horrible person. But these people, the land was full of disease. The animals were full of disease. These people were having sex with animals. The animals had syphilis, and they had syphilis. And this is where it all began. It was spread into Europe then, after this. All even over here to America. Some of the people that were in here, the Lord talked about leprosy. Leprosy really wasn't leprosy, but it was a type of syphilis that actually ate away your face and lips and nose and ears and things. Horrible disease. The animals had it, and the people had it. And God knew that would happen. That's why he said in the 9th chapter of the book of Genesis that I shall drive them out, and you shall take possession of that land, and they shall be cursed. They'll be a servant to you. They will go on and build the land up, and then you will take it away from them and drive them out, and some places kill all the animals, all the people, all the children, because they were all diseased. All diseased. We garesh tonol, tomol that is. We gesh tomol, mefanika. And you shall have driven them out. Second person masculine singular, PL, wow, conceptive perfect, suffix third person masculine plural. You shall have driven them out, each and every one of you, from before. Here we have mephanika, a preposition in front of that man. Phanika. And phanika there is your face or nose, and it again is in the oblative case here. From you, oblative, from your face. From your face, the oblative. Now, by the way, there are eight cases. Nominative, genitive, optative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, invocative. In Greek, and we even pass it over into the Hebrew language. We see it here like this. Lo, an adverb of negation again. Tekaroth, lehem, we le lahem, berith. Not. He starts out with an adverb of negation. Not. And we have second person masculine singular, cal imperfect. You shall not have made a covenant. You shall not make a covenant. Actually, it means to destroy there, to cut him, to cut and destroy. What they did is they went out, they came up to a people, and they said, we're going to make a covenant with you, and they would get a lamb or a goat, a calf, or birds, and they would cut the birds and everything. They killed them, and they slaughtered them, and they would put half of the bird over here, half of the other half over here, all the way down, half of the lamb, half of the goat, all the way down, and then you'd walk down between these sacrifices, this covenant, and you would basically give one another their shoes. That sounds really weird, but that's what they did. And you shall not keep on making or destroying or making slaughters for their gods. We li la hehem. Not for their gods. The word Elohim is in there. And then bereath, that means a covenant or a cutting. The last verse in this lesson now, Lo yishavu ba'aretzika pen yachatiyu otika ki ta'avod et Elohim ki yiyah lika limogesh. Not. Third person, masculine, plural, cal, imperfect. Not, they shall keep on dwelling. The word shiva, yeshev, it means to dwell. In your land. Not they shall dwell. It's not their land, it's my land, and I'm giving it to you. They went in and possessed it, and they were cursed, and when their sin had reached unto my nostrils, in the heaven, basically, God sent Israel in there to take them out of the land. Dwelling in your land, lest. That word pen there, that's a little conjunction. Wachi to you. And that is third person masculine plural, hifel, imperfect. They shall keep on causing you to sin. The word chata is in this thing here. This is the word to miss the mark. They shall keep on causing you to miss the mark. And in the New Testament, it is not hamartia. Hamartia does not mean to miss the mark. It means to go astray. This word here is chata, means to miss the mark. And the equivalent in the New Testament is astokio, not hamartia. Otika. Against me. There is a sign of the direct object, but here it has a suffix there. It is me. Against me. Because, key, page 473, ta'avod, second person masculine singular, cal imperfect, comes from avod, because you shall keep on serving. Et, you shall keep on serving, sign of direct object, power, forces going that way. The gods belonging to them, their God, the genitive, plural. God belonging to them, because, ki, yigyah, second person, masculine, singular, cal, imperfect, he shall keep on becoming to you, lika, preposition with a suffix, to you, second person masculine singular suffix, to you, limogesh, a trap, a snare. A trap or snare. It means to bait. We have animals out here, predators, and I have to set traps for them sometimes. And you put food in there, bait in there, and they go in there and they see the food and they step on the snare the trap, and it closes the door, and they're closed inside the trap. These people will be a trap to you, a snare to you, if you leave them in the land. So drive them out, except those that believe. We know some that believed. Our Father, we send this message out, a message of love, a message of judgment, a message of intolerance for the sin of these people, and yet a message of love and a promise and a curse, all rolled up in one. Father, use it to educate your people in heart and mind and spirit. And Father, just thank you for all the blessings you give us. Thank you for your word, and how every word in it is so important.